Romans chapter 1. The message today is man and the worship of God. I want to read several scriptures to you. But Romans 1, first of all. Verse 19. Because that which is known of God is manifest in them, for God manifested it unto them. For the invisible things of Him, since the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even His everlasting power and Godhead or divinity, that they may be without excuse, because that knowing God, they glorified Him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and their senseless heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of the image of corruptible man, and of birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up. Now, let's read in Genesis 4. Verse 3. Abel is a keeper of sheep, and Cain is a tiller of the ground. And it says in verse 3, and in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, look over at verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod. And here, he and his descendants start having children, and it says that in verse 20, Adah bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of such as handled the harp and pipe. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, the forger of every cutting instrument of brass and iron, and so forth. Now, look at verse 26. And to Seth, to him also was born a son, and he called his name Enosh. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And in chapter 5, look at verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Now, other passages, but I will bring them to your attention. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, let us know that this universe in which we find ourselves is difficult enough to understand in a physical sense. We see, our God, the confusion of the world when man tries to understand it in a spiritual sense. And we are thankful that your scriptures tell us how to understand it, and it gives us an insight, Father, that is satisfactory to our souls, to understand the universe in which we find ourselves, and also the invisible things that surround us, about which we would know nothing, but about which you've given us sufficient information to put our hearts at rest. And we pray that we may understand about your creature and his worship of you. So help us to descend our God. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. There are two ways of looking at man and God, and it's this. The first is how the natural man considers his fellow man. That at one time he was a beast and he has developed, and somehow there is a comprehension of God and he has invented God and developed God over the ages until finally we know about God what we do know, and we have developed and we'll continue to develop. That's why I read you Romans chapter 1. God says it is just the opposite. It is not that at one time man did not know God, but suddenly he, after ages and ages, had an inkling of God and invented the concept of God and developed this concept. But it says this, that in the beginning it said, man knew God. Knowing God, he glorified him not as God, but became vain in his imagination. And it says, his senseless heart was darkened. Professing himself to be wise, he became a fool, and instead of inventing God, he perverted God. So the Bible says that in the beginning, man knew God. And it says, when he knew God, he glorified him not as God, he neither gave thanks. Now, here's the retrogression. He was already at the apex, but then he glorified him not as God, and it said there was retrogression. He fell. It says his senseless heart was darkened. Well, you can only darken something that was enlightened. And man had that enlightenment, and he did not live in that enlightenment, and his senseless heart was darkened. And in darkness, he professed himself to be wise, and God said, you became a fool. And this glorious God that man knew from the beginning, he changed, and that's where idolatry came in. Now, what I want to do is to consider for a while man and the worship of God, because from what we are taught, and I can understand it, that man knew to worship God from the very beginning. He worshiped God in a different way at the first, because before sin came into the world, man was in a perfect environment, and God would come in the cool of the evening and walk in fellowship with his creature. How delightful. How brief a time man fellowshiped with God, but then he sinned, and all of this will be ever so brief. He sinned, and he was expelled from the garden. But immediately in chapter 4, we find the first two creatures worshiping God. Isn't that remarkable? Here are Cain and Abel. Cain the firstborn, Abel the secondborn, and they have different occupations. Cain is one who tilled the ground, and Abel was one who kept sheep. But what happens is this. At certain times of the year, when the harvest came in, Cain would bring his basket of fruit, whatever he grew, and he would offer it unto God. Isn't that remarkable? That man is worshiping God, even though he is fallen, and his parents are expelled from the garden. Now, did he have a knowledge of God? He had a first-hand knowledge of God, because his parents could tell him God. Now, this is what is so remarkable. You nowhere find that God instructed Cain and Abel how to worship him, or to worship him at all. And yet we find them worshiping God. Cain comes and he worships God with the only thing he has with which to worship God. His occupation is a tiller of the ground. He is a farmer and he brings fruit to God. You say, that's his mistake. He should have brought a lamb to God. No, you are wrong. Because you'll find in Deuteronomy 26, God demands that at the time when tithes are to be given, the man has to bring a basket of fruit. Would God tell you to do that which was wrong? You say no. A basket of fruit is as acceptable as a lamb to God. Why, of course. Because you worship God with the fruit of the ground as well as the lambs of the flock. In fact, if you're going to spiritualize Cain and Abel and why God rejected Cain but accepted Abel, you cannot say that it's because of the typical meaning of his offerings. Why? You say, well, don't you know that that lamb is a picture of Christ as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world? I will accept that. But did you not know that the fruit of the ground is even superior to the type of a lamb? You say, why? Because the lamb is slain. But it says in 1 Corinthians 15, but now is Christ risen, the first fruits of them that slept. And so the first fruits is a picture of Christ risen from the dead. And so God did not reject the offering of Cain because it did not typify Christ. If you have the fruits of the ground, it's a picture of Christ risen from the dead. It was the nature, the attitude of his heart when he was worshiping God. Now, here is something that is frightening when it comes to the worship of God. You never find any man who has seen Satan. Satan in a visible form. I only know of one. Tell me anyone who has ever seen Satan, any man on earth who has seen him in a visible, manifest state as angelic beings presented them to men. Tell me anyone other than Christ who has ever seen Satan. No one. No one has ever seen Satan except the Lord Jesus when he was in the wilderness with him. But you look in the scripture and God tells you he's there. Who do you think was in that serpent, enabling it to talk and leading Eve astray? Who do you think it was? It says in the book of Revelation, the dragon, that old serpent, Satan the devil. And so that serpent was embodied by Satan, and here is Satan and he is tempting Eve. But it is through a serpent. Now we would never know this. We would never know it. Do you realize that when Cain was worshiping God with that basket of fruit, that he was a child of hell, a son of the devil at that time? You say, how can you say that? He's bringing a basket of fruit to God. Because John tells us in his first epistle, it said, we're to love one another, not as Cain, who was of the evil one, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And so we find those that are children of Satan worshiping God, but it's a false worship, and the barrenness of that worship is immediately exposed when God said, you did not bring the right gift to me, and you brought it in the wrong attitude. Because it said that when Abel brought to God, he brought the first things of the flock and the fat thereof. He brought God the very best. But Cain just brought God something. Instead of picking out the choice fruit, the choice vegetable that he grew, he just picked something and he brought it and set it down before God. And God said, I'm not accepting that. And in brief, Cain said, you may take it, or you may leave it. And God said, I'm leaving it. And Cain said, well, I'm not bringing you anything else. Do you see how empty his worship was? How even though he was offering a gift to God, he was a child of the devil. That's what God tells us. He says concerning those in John chapter 8 that apparently are following him. He said, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father it is your will to do. So notice, in chapter 1 we have Satan in the serpent, but you never see Satan. In chapter 4 you find Satan, but you never see Satan. You find Cain, and he embodies Cain. It's like in Judas Iscariot at the Last Supper. We find Judas Iscariot at first having been suggested to by Satan, and it says after Christ gave him the sop, it says Satan entered into him and he went out and he betrayed the Lord. Twice. Here you have Cain offering a gift to God, but he's Satan's. And here is Judas Iscariot offering service to God, fellowshipping with the Son of God, and yet he is suggested to by Satan and then indwelt by Satan. So you find in Genesis 3, Satan. You find in Genesis 4, Satan. And then you find in chapter 4, something else that is beautiful. Even though here is man, and he has rejected God, and man is departing from God. It says in Genesis chapter 4, at that time, man began to call upon the name of the Lord. Now think. He began to call upon the name of the Lord 235 years after the creation of man. Adam was 130 years of age when he begat Seth. Seth was 105 years of age when he begat Enosh. And when this happened, it said, at that time, man began to call upon the name of the Lord. What does it mean? It means that even in that brief period, man had departed from God, but some began to call upon the name of the Lord. This is man and his worship of God. It is something intuitive in the heart of man that makes him reach out for God and want to worship God. But in the case of these men, Adam was living for 930 years, and if a man did not believe in God, he could go and ask Adam if there were a God. And Adam would say, yes, I've met him personally. And also, if Cain desired, he could say, yes, there is a God because I have met him personally, and I hate him, and I reject all that God stands for. But Cain, as much as Adam, could tell you that there was a God because he had personal interviews with God, and God dealt with him, but he rejected God. But it said at that time, even though there are some like Abel who worship God truly from the heart, there were those like Cain that worship God falsely and then rejected God and started their own religion. That is human development, human inventions, human improvement, putting God out of their lives. There's nothing better than having music to sing praises to God. But then, do you think that most of the music today is singing praises to God? Or it's an escape from God. It is blasphemy against God. But you'll find that if man will not occupy himself with God, then he can invent machinery, tools, cutting instruments. He can raise cattle, and he can invent musical instruments. You see, there was Jabel, there was Jubal, and there was Tubal-Cain, all descendants of Cain, this fallen one, and they invent things, and they are beneficial to man, but he is occupied with these things to the exclusion of God. And that's what man tries to do. If he will not have God, then take God's creation and do something with it. And make music, but not to the glory of God. And make machinery, but not to the glory of God. And also raise cattle, but not to the glory of God. It is God being excluded, but man knows that there is a God. Inherently in his heart, he knows that there is a God. And so in Genesis 4, we find a false worshiper of God in Cain. But at the end of Genesis 4, that close to the beginning of creation, it says that then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. How was it that men ever stopped calling upon the name of the Lord, stopped fellowshipping with God? Because Satan, though he is invisible, has come and taken the heart of Eve, deceived her, and then Adam has succumbed to Eve, and then Cain has been overcome by Satan. How can this be? The first creature ever born, how can Satan get his heart? But he is the old serpent. And there is wisdom in the serpent. Christ says, be wise as a serpent and be as harmless as doves. And so here is this serpent. And the serpent has captured Cain, and then he has captured the descendants of Cain. But some escape, just like some of the descendants of Seth and Enosh and Methuselah and Noah. Every time Cain is there, Cain and his God, Satan. Why? You would certainly think that when it says the earth was corrupt, every imagination of the thought of man's heart was only evil continually. And God said, it repents me that I've made man. I'm going to destroy man. And so he does, except for Noah and Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their wives. You say, well, now all will be well. But you discover that there was Ham, his son, and by his treatment of his father, the shameful way that he would disgrace his father and call his brothers in and say, our father is naked, come in and look at our father's nakedness. And Shem and Japheth would have nothing to do with it. They went backward and clothed the nakedness of their father. But you'll see that Satan, no matter how small the population of the earth is, somehow Satan enters in, and that is the sad thing. And then, in brief, you come to chapter 10, and you find the descendants of Cush, and you have Nimrod. He is the one that started Babylon. He is the one that started Nineveh, and you find this godless kingdom there. And that's the sad thing. You find Satan in the history of man, though you do not see him, and God has to say, there he is. But we also see God in history, because man, knowing God, some are faithful to God, because it says, in this time of blackness and darkness and sin, it says, Enoch walked with God. Now that is glorious. Now, let me show you about man knowing God and worshiping God, but we nowhere find that God told him how to be worshipped. Tell me, who told Cain to offer God the fruit of the ground? Who told Abel to offer a lamb? The only hint that we get is this: faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And so you might infer that God told them about those things. But who told Noah, after he was taken safely through the storm, to take of the clean beasts and birds and build an altar and offer them as blood sacrifices to God? Who told him to do that? You find no instruction from God. But there was something intuitive in the heart of man, and man is sacrificing animals as early as the time of Noah, and then it continues. But what happens is that this sacrifice to God upon an altar can either be good or bad. Do you remember the prophets of Baal in that contest with Elijah? Oh, Satan has his followers, and they have their offerings. But here is what I want you to understand and to see from the scriptures, that man cannot get God out of his mind. And man will worship God. He will worship him personally, but then suddenly a different thing happens. You discover that man at first was personally worshiping God without a priest, because he himself was the priest. You will find that the father would offer sacrifices. Here is Job, who has 10 children, and on certain occasions they would get together and have a joyful time, and it said that Job would go and offer sacrifices in case their children, his children, had sinned. Now, who told Job to offer those sacrifices? But there was no priest at that time. Job, as the father, would offer those sacrifices. And you go on this way, and you never find any priest that God has told us that he has ordained until you come to the book of Exodus, and then finally, God ordains a priest. You find Melchizedek in Genesis 14, but we're not told that God ordained him. You'll find Jethro in Exodus chapter 18 officiating, and he was priest of God Most High, but you never find that God appointed him. And you find that Egypt has its priest. Potipharah, he was priest, and his daughter married Joseph. But you find priests among the heathen, and you have priests among the righteous, and it means this, that God never told man that he needed a priest, never, until the revelation he gave to Moses. And God has never ordained any priest except the Aaronic priesthood. And so if you are in the world today and you have priests, special priests that are above you, that are distinct from you, they have not been ordained by God. After the exclusion of the priesthood of Aaron, then there is only one priesthood. And if you are born again, you are a part of that priesthood. Five times the priesthood is spoken of. Twice in 1 Peter chapter 2, and three times in the book of Revelation. Revelation 1, Revelation 5, Revelation 20. And it says that all of God's people are priests. We are a kingdom of priests. We are kings and priests. Well, if we're all priests, tell me any special priest on earth who needs to intercede for us. You say, I only know of one priest in heaven, the priest after the order of Melchizedek, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is precisely so. And so it would be presumption if you came to me and said, you are a priest and I am a layman. I want you to pray for me. I will pray for you as a priest, but no special priest that is superior to you. If you are a child of God, then your intercessory work is as valuable as mine. But I want you to see that there are priests, and they arise because it is intuitive in man's heart to worship God. He cannot get God out of his mind. And the truth is this, that if a man will honestly look to the heavens, look to the creation, he must acknowledge that there is a God. The Lord Jesus says in John 7:17, if any man is willing to do God's will, he shall know. And I have tried with all my might to reject God, to put him out of my mind, to say, there is no God. But I've never been that fool for this reason. Here are two principles put before me. And the first one is this, by the atheists, that at one time, and this is their latest teaching, that at one time, not there is eternity of matter, but there was nothing, absolutely nothing, but suddenly out of nothing, there became something. And this something that came out of nothing, but nothing behind it, it had inherent laws, and those laws function to such a degree that they can put a man on the moon. They know precisely when things are happening. They can discover formulas. Why? They say, well, it just happened that there was nothing, and out of nothing came something with all of these laws. Now, if you can accept that, you have greater faith than a Christian who believes in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Yes, indeed, at one time there was nothing. And suddenly there was a big bang when God said, let there be a creation. He spake and it was done. He spoke and it stood fast. Yes, that is the beginning. And the faith that I have to believe that is less faith than you have to believe that out of nothing came something and this universe is what it is today. And man in his heart, God has said this. It says that knowing God, he glorified not his God, neither was thankful. And it says his senseless heart was darkened. And that heart has remained darkened. And this is what Christ says. When he performed his greatest miracles, and man rejected those miracles. And he said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and prudent, and did reveal them unto babes. Notice, it says in Romans 1 that man's senseless heart was darkened. And it says in Matthew chapter 11, he said, I thank you, Father, that you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent. And there's no atheist on earth who remains wise and prudent and conceited will ever believe in God and in his Son, Jesus Christ. But he says this, that if in humility you come as little children, it says God will reveal it to you. This is the promise of Christ. If any man is willing to do God's will, he shall know. And man has known for this reason. You have man wanting to worship God, but since there is a God, and God goes by what his name means, God, then God must tell us what to do, must tell us how to worship, must tell us how to be clothed. You see, man would put on fig leaves, but God says, you will be clothed with skins. Man has his own religion. He makes his own idols. He creates God in his image rather than God creating man in his image. But still, man, unless he rejects, unless that senseless heart that's darkened is enlightened by God, he will keep inventing his God. But all of this is rejected. But here is a little bit about man and his worship of God. And I've spoken those minutes, and so we have to pray now. Now, Father, we are thankful that it's impossible not to believe in you and you, the Creator, not to know your eternal power and divinity and Godhead, unless we refuse to believe, lest we refuse, our Father, to allow thy Spirit to work in our hearts. And you have said, my Spirit shall not always work with man, strive with man. But our God, we pray that in this sinful world, just as you have saved some out of darkness, and you have softened hardened hearts, we pray that you shall do that. We are thankful that we acknowledge that there is a God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that was further told us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that hath been made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We thank you for this knowledge, the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So bless us as we continue, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.